Welcome to Movers and Shakers, Porch Group Media's thought leadership podcast. AI and machine learning are changing the game for SEO this year, and as the SEO landscape changes, you must reevaluate your current strategies and adapt your approach. Today, we are joined by Nikki Cupp, Head of Organic Marketing at Porch Marketing Group, and Larissa Bedgood, Head of Marketing at Porch Group Media. In this episode, we'll explore the latest SEO trends and strategies and provide actionable tips on how to drive organic traffic, improve your rankings, and achieve your 2024 SEO goals. So without further ado, let's get started.
We are going to be talking about SEO and some tips on navigating the changing landscape. My name is Larissa Bedgood. I head our marketing team at Porch Group Media. And joining me today is Nikki Cupp. So welcome, Nikki.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, it should be a really good conversation. And before we really dive into some of the content, just a quick overview. Nikki will be talking about the SEO landscape in general, the importance of content marketing, link building, you know, some of the different things that you've heard of, her recommendations and how to measure success. And something that I'm really, really excited about is this, the AI and the future of SEO. So on that, without further ado, we're going to dive in. And Nikki, before I hand it over to you, kind of like all many marketers anyways, I always feel like, okay, you know, I'm doing content. I have a basic idea of what SEO is. It's making my blog rank as high as I can by just putting as many keywords in as I can. And when I add it to the website, having these H1s and H2s. Obviously, I know it's a lot more complicated than that. So I'd love to hear, you know, as somebody that has, you know, worked extensively in SEO, like what you're seeing, just an overview of what SEO really is.
Yeah, so I think your point is the right one, which is that I think when people hear SEO, that often probably means something different to everyone. I would say that most simply put, the way to think about SEO is really the practice of making your website more visible on a search engine so that you're ultimately getting more traffic to your site. So of course, right, the higher your ranking on a search engine, the more traffic you're going to receive. We love traffic. We can do a lot with that traffic. And so the fundamental aspect of SEO is getting more people to your website by ranking higher. And there are, of course, as you can imagine, many, many, many different ways to go about achieving this, sort of why we call it an art and a science. And I'm sure anyone who's read anything about SEO has heard that before. But the way we sort of classify the techniques with which to grow your website can be categorized into what we might call on-page. So things that we have control over, things like our content, things like our tech stack, et cetera. And then off page. And so that is things that we have a little bit less control over, although there are still strategies to implement, but more so speaks to how other people on the web are sort of interacting with and talking about your brand. When I talk about SEO too, you sort of heard me generalize this idea of the search engine, but really what we do mean is Google. And so the reason for that is because unsurprisingly, Google really has the largest share of the sort of search engine market overall. So they have about 87% share of market, which means that if you're in position 10 on Google, you're going to get more traffic to your website than, let's say, if you were in position 1 on Yahoo. And that is, of course, just a result of more people are using Google as their search engine.
Right.
So I will start to use the word Google more versus the sort of generalized search engine.
Yeah, I love that. I when I was looking at this graph that we have here in the slide, I was like, gosh, I do remember DuckDuckGo. So it's interesting, though, like really the impact of when you look at Google and just how much market share they do have, it's obviously quite impressive. So
yeah,
nothing speaks powerful than a good graph.
That's true, a pie chart specifically. But you know, this means that SEO is really, you're playing a game with Google at the end of the day.
Right. I like that. That's, yeah, shall we play a game? okay, I love this slide. And when we were talking about it, the search landscape, for me, I'll let you dive into here in a second, but for me, when I put up a blog, I love Googling myself, or rather I should say, I love Googling my content. So I will put up a blog. I'm like, okay, you know, here are the search words I'm trying to leverage and to see where I am in the organic search. But, you know, you have these paid search results as well. So I'd love to just kind of give a rundown and, you know, how this distinction between paid and organic works.
Yep. So anytime we talk about SEO, it's good to just level set on, you know, what does a SERP or a search engine's results page look like most commonly. And so this is a pretty classic version of a SERP. There are multiple types of versions that you will see sort of depending on what type of keyword you're searching for. So you're probably familiar, Larissa, if you're searching for, let's say, a new pair of sneakers, you actually get a shopping display at the top.
Right.
Or let's say you're looking for your closest Target, you're going to see a map pack displayed there versus, you know, what this looks like right here. But I would say the most classic version of a SERP is what you see here. And so you can really think about it as being divided into sort of two sections. The top section, of course, is your paid search. So that is anybody clicks on one of those links, and the owner of that link will pay for that click. So definitely a different channel to use to capture demand. But then the bottom portion here is organic search. And so when we think of SEO, we're really trying to impact this organic search section. So I think that link there is Kelly Blue Book. Kelly Blue Book will never rank above the Genesis sponsored link there because the sponsored link will always be at the top. So we want to rank as high as possible when we're thinking about impacting SEO in that blue section.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Quick question. So on this paid search, which is above the, you know, at the top of the page, how many search or paid search results are typically in there? Is this about standard, a couple of them?
Yeah, it's oftentimes no more than three. There are other places on a SERP where sponsored results will show as well. So if you were to scroll to the bottom, or if you sort of scroll down on the results page, you'd see another section of search results, which you could imagine have very, very low click-through rate. But traditionally, you'll sort of see 2 to 3 paid links at the top.
Awesome. All right. So I know that, and actually, as I was reading through this, and when you and I were talking the other day, there are a lot of ranking factors. In addition to, you know, the 3 or 4 I mentioned, I will give you that, okay, there's probably an additional 196 beyond the 4 that I mentioned. but there's a lot that I had no idea, like page speed. And then this whole world of the off-page ranking factors. I'd love to hear, you know, a little bit more about the on-page, off-page ranking factors.
Yep. So this is where we start to get a little bit more complex on the idea of SEO. And so when we think about Google, what Google is doing is Google bot is going out and crawling every page on the website. It is a bot, right? And so it is looking at things like your content, your HTML, looking at your technical site structure, how easily people can interact with your site, et cetera. And these are what we would call ranking factors. So when Google is sort of looking at all of these different characteristics of your website, then it's determining how well your page or your content or your site should rank as a result of how well you're sort of performing. And so that is the idea of the Google algorithm. So the Google bot crawls your website, crawls your content, and then the algorithm is sort of helping to indicate, is this content valuable for a keyword that someone is searching? And so when we think about ranking factors, there are many. So there are sort of over 200 ranking factors in the Google search algorithm. And you heard me mention earlier that I kind of categorize these things into on-page and off-page. So again, on-page is what we can control, and off-page is really how people are interacting with us across the web.
There are,
of course, factors that are significantly more important than other factors. Particularly things like mobile friendliness, that is a really big one today because, as we know, a lot of people are now using smartphones, right, searching for things on their phones. And so if your website is not set up to be mobile friendly, then you're not going to rank as well at the end of the day. And so you know, this is always something where you'd be working with your engineering or your dev team to make sure that your website is set up for mobile search very well. Another really key factor, and I won't go through all of these, but I'll call out a couple. Another key factor here is showing expertise in your area. So, you know, if I had a website where I was trying to talk about 10 different things and I had one page for each topic, I'm not actually showing expertise in any particular category. What is more valuable is to think about, you know, what is your niche? What are you good at? And you're sort of saturating your site with really valuable content about that topic. So making sure that you're sort of displaying that authority through your content is very key to being able to rank well in Google. After that, you start to get into the more technical side of things. And so, Larissa, you had mentioned, you know, the title tag, meta description, right. How do you think about your H1, your H2? Those things, of course, you need to have in place because that is how Googlebot is interpreting your content. So having structured content helps Google to better understand and therefore better rank what you're talking about. And then on the off-page side, so this is where we start to talk about this idea of backlinks. So are there other websites out there that are citing your website or your content as a source of authority for a given topic? So we're all familiar with this idea of citing a source, and so that's how you can sort of think about it. Anytime that another website, the more authoritative that other website is, the better. Anytime they're talking about you or linking to you as an authority, consider that sort of a vote across the web. So the more votes we get, the better.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's a quick question. So if I am syndicating a blog, and so I have a blog that I've written and another site is publishing that, is that one going to give me, I guess, another backlink? I guess it would to my site if I have some links in there. But the other question is, I hear a lot about duplicate content. So now that I have the same pieces, does that harm me?
Great question. So content syndication, yes, does technically give you a backlink, but Google has gotten smart enough to know that the backlink is from a syndicated piece of content, so it's actually not very valuable. So we could get really in the weeds as we think about the value of a backlink, but syndication is typically not going to be valuable in that sense. It's certainly still a valuable means with which to think about content distribution holistically, right. But through the lens of SEO, syndication becomes less valuable. Your second question was about duplicate content. That's always a concern, but there are things you can do technically to sort of tell Google what the original content source is. And so this is code that you put into your HTML that is what we'd call canonicalizing that content. So if piece of content is syndicated on a different website, they would have a piece of code essentially on that page that tells Google, hey, I'm syndicating this, but here I am telling you overtly, here's the original source of the content.
Okay, and not to belabor this, one other question. When I am writing a blog and I am sourcing a site that I've gotten a statistic from, I will say it's one of my favorite companies is Ascent2, and so maybe they have a research study. Should I link to the name Ascent2, or should I link to their search term, mover marketing statistics?
For you, it doesn't matter. So the thing to think about when you're linking to a source, any what we would call backlink juice. So let's say we've got a bunch of backlinks from really high authorities. Now we're linking to sources. We're sort of redistributing that juice across the web. So we're someone else is linking to us and says we're an authority, and we're linking to someone else to say they're an authority. What people often will do to not sort of lose their link juice, so to speak, is actually put no follow links on. And so again, this is in the code. So this is saying, this tells Google, do not follow this link. Googlebot will still access the link, but what it's saying is don't pass authority from our site to this site. So you'll hear that happen. But as far as what keyword you should link, you should think about that through the lens of what's most valuable to the reader of your content. But on the other side of that, someone else would care about what the anchor text is of the link. So it's a very interesting game when you start talking about
that. Yeah, folks, we may be having a second webinar. So very interesting. I will move on, but thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Content marketing, my favorite subject apparently I've been talking about. Kind of highlight what you're seeing here and how that plays into SEO.
Yeah, so I don't think we can talk about SEO without talking about content, because SEO does not exist without content of some kind, right? Whether that's video content, whether that is purely written content, we have to talk about it. So one thing I always like to say is that, you know, I think very, very often people associate the idea of SEO with blog. This is a soapbox I will be on forever, which is that when we think about blog, we often mean informational content. And so I like to talk about SEO through the lens of two types of content, one being transactional, one being informational. So sort of getting rid of this idea of a blog, because every page on your website should hopefully be doing something to positively impact your SEO, not just a subsection of your site that it might be called the blog. So transactional content then is content that is targeting keywords that we think have high intent. Said another way, where we think that someone's going to take action, more likely to convert, more likely to submit a form, whatever your sort of conversion metric looks like. Informational content, on the other hand, is exactly what it sounds like. It's content that's meant to answer a question, but not necessarily something that somebody is going to convert on. So think about it as your sort of how do I type of content. We have to have both, right? So to be successful, your content strategy should incorporate both styles. The reason for that is because informational content is really where you get to signal your authority, but your transactional content is really where you get to capture the value from the organic channel. So the best way to start this is to typically go out and try to gather all of the keywords about your industry, and then think about categorizing those keywords. So for every keyword that I know is relevant to me, I would say, I think that this is transactional, I think this one is non-transactional. And then from there, you can really start to create an effective content strategy.
Keep going.
And writing the content, of course, is the sort of second key piece, which is that we have to make sure that our content is high quality, that it is, you know, getting users to the right answer or to the right product or to the right service. So said a different way, if we're targeting a specific keyword, we have to make sure that our content is sort of fully talking about that keyword, answering that topic in a comprehensive, high quality, highly authoritative way. High quality content is ultimately what's going to rank better in Google. It's what's going to attract traffic. And, you know, it's what's going to earn those backlinks and earn that sort of interaction across other platforms or channels like social, et cetera.
Do you, as part of a content strategy, as you talk about blogs, but video, I know, can give a pretty powerful punch to SEO. Is that correct?
It depends on how you think about incorporating video strategy. There are a couple of ways to think about video overall. So one of those is, you know, YouTube is also a search engine. So we don't talk about it a lot when we think about SEO, but it is a search engine. It used to be the second highest search engine after Google, but TikTok has actually surpassed YouTube. Oh, wow. So you can think about it in the sense of, hey, this is really an entirely different channel with which I can get traffic through a different search engine. You can also think about it as on Google, we talked about the SERP earlier. There's another sort of SERP that you might see depending on the keyword you're searching that shows videos at the top. So you've probably seen that before where instead of organic links, you're given video. So another strategy could be to use video to capture what we call SERP feature and also drive traffic from video from a Google search engine. Or you can think about placing video on your content as well. I think that Google has just recently changed their algorithm to say that if you put a video on a landing page, the video has to be the main content of your page in order for it to rank well. So it can't be supplementary to it to get it to sort of rank higher. It sort of has to be the main content. But those are a couple of different ways that you might think about video.
Interesting. Okay, what else do we have? Link building. Love to learn about link building.
For hours, Larissa.
Right. Well, yeah, I know. This has been a really good conversation, but tell us maybe a little bit less than all that.
Yeah, so as we think about link building, you've heard me talk about this a bit here, but the takeaway is that, you know, when someone else is linking to your site, it is considered a vote across the web. So the more links that you have from relevant sources, the better performance you're going to have on Google. Now, not every link is created equal. We care about links from other high authority websites the most. There is something like spammy links that exist out there. So really, links from really low quality sites are going to do nothing for us and could, in fact, negatively impact us. But, you know, there are ways to think about, you know, developing a backlink acquisition strategy. And I won't go through all of these, but the story is the same, right? Which is we want to make sure that we have really quality, high level, you know, engaging, accurate content. This is where you might think about thought leadership content as a strategy here. We want to make sure that we've got distribution channels for that content. So whether that's, you know, LinkedIn, whether that's, you know, Instagram, et cetera, because we want people to engage with that content across the web. And we also want to make sure that we're building, you know, relationships. So when you get really, really deep into link acquisition strategy, this is where you might start thinking about PR. And so having those relationships with, you know, news outlets or other publisher websites becomes really valuable to maintaining that relationship, but also acquiring those links.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot that I have not had time to really delve into. So I love, like, just, you know, like some of those ideas, like the PR and social media. I've embedded a visit my website link onto my LinkedIn profile, and we actually got a boost in website traffic from that. So really interesting, you know, when you think outside of the box of all these different ways to do that.
Yep.
So how do we put on all this time and effort, how do we now measure success?
Yes, so this is probably the most simplified way to think about looking at, is my SEO successful? There, of course, this is not comprehensive in any way, but I think sort of represents the most baseline ways with which we might try to answer that question. Of course, and I'm going to go one level deeper than just purely traffic, because of course everything that we do, right, is in the spirit of getting more traffic from Google to our site. And so how do we know if we're in a position to get more traffic? There are a couple things that we would want to look at. The first is our keywords. So I think of keywords from two lenses, one being what I call breadth and one being depth. So breadth is, you know, how many keywords is my website ranking on? So I want to sort of look at the total universe. So that's breadth. And then depth would be, of that total universe of keywords I'm ranking on, how high in Google am I ranking? And so this is where you start looking at average position. So an average position, right, of 2 across many, many keywords is amazing. You're probably getting a ton of traffic. So that's where you sort of start playing around with those numbers to look and say, okay, how many keywords where on Google? And you can start slicing that down a little bit too to say, hey, these are the 50 keywords I really care about. What's my average rank on those? Here are the 100, you know, informational type keywords that I care about. How do I perform on those? The next would be, of course, looking at your backlink profile. So oftentimes this is sort of a health check. So do you have the spammy links that I mentioned? What's the quality of the backlinks that are linking to you? So right, if you're sort of starting to grow that backlink profile with high quality links, that would be something that would give you an indication that your content is being talked about, interacted with a lot on the web. And then the last piece that we of course can't forget about is, is my organic traffic actually turning into revenue? So again, not all traffic is created equally. This is why we care about transactional keywords and non-transactional keywords. And so really understanding, am I getting those leads? Am I getting those conversions, purchases, whatever that looks like from this channel is critical to measuring success.
Awesome. And this is, I know we have a couple more slides yet, and we're coming close on time, but AI, I think, is so exciting and how that can impact just the future of everything. But we'll stick to SEO.
Yes. So there are still a lot of unknowns here, right? So I'll sort of talk about it through the lens of what we do know to be true today. What we know to be true is that the Google algorithm and SEO has always trended towards the approach of providing more value to the user. So everything Google does is through the spirit of making sure that I, as the searcher, am getting closer to the content that I care about. We also know that Google is pivoting towards what they're calling the search generative experience. And so the idea of a search generative experience is that there is going to be a display at the top of the search engine, which is interactive, but answering your query through AI. So the AI will be able to sort of better understand your intent, give you an answer, but then also gives you a way to sort of ask a follow-up question so that it becomes more interactive. What is likely to happen from this, though, is that we are going to start to see an increase in what we call no-click SERPs. So if I can go to a search engine and ask a simple question, the answer is given to me on the results page, I don't need to click over to another website. So, you know, asking the question of what is Barack Obama's age, I see that answer immediately. I don't click to a website. I just leave Google entirely. Because we are going to see an increase in informational queries being answered directly on the SERP, we're going to start to see less people clicking on results in the SERP.
Right.
And then, you know, finally, it, like I mentioned, it will just become more conversational. So those are sort of the things that we know to be true today. And there are a couple things we can do to sort of think about getting ahead of it, which will be our last slide here.
Okay, we did it.
All right. So, you know, there's going to be no change in how we want to think about our content as far as our requirement to show expertise. So we want to continue to be, you know, really authoritative with that content. Content will still be king. That's not going to change. There is this idea of what we might start to call answer engine optimization. So if you think about the search generative experience being an answer that's just directly given to you, it is very likely that that search generative experience will also include cited links to for you to read more information, right? So where is Google actually getting the answer that they're giving to you? They will probably cite some sources. And so answer engine optimization might look like we want to be what Google is citing. And so, you know, how do we do that? We do that through highly authoritative content that answers the user's queries. To your earlier point as well, talking about video, I think that it's important for us to start thinking about content variability. So how do we think about using video as another channel, as another way to sort of get our content out there? I think that will become critical, particularly because we know that video content is consumed, you know, more than ever now, particularly the short form style video. And then the last thing I would say, you know, we didn't talk about this, but the idea of your content being up to date, fresh, and relevant, things change, right, every day. And so, you know, we might have a blog that was published 3 months ago that's frankly out of date, depending on what we're talking about. So the idea of making sure we're regularly updating the content sort of leads back into this idea of being high quality, but I think will become more critical as Google is using content to then answer questions and cite those sources. So this, I'm sure, is not comprehensive. Again, things are changing quite a bit, but I do think that this sort of helps put us on a track of how we can start thinking about our content strategies, our website structures, and what we should do today to get ahead of some of it.
This was super, super helpful, Nikki. And thank you all for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. You can tell I'm passionate, so I'm happy to answer any questions.
Love that. Love it. Thank you. You all have a good rest of your afternoon.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Movers and Shakers. We hope you found these insights helpful. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And to learn more about our audience and marketing solutions, please visit our website at porchgroupmedia.com. See you next time.